And guys, it's when we welcome all our faithful listeners to this first Apprentice podcast.
Fuck all.
Why are you Apprentice is over and this is the first podcast?
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the first and last Apprentice podcast.
Why like a worse version of the view.
Why don't you introduce yourselves one by one? I don't know if you can do that. Let's see what we can do.
So that's me. I'm Fort. Hi.
Third. Chowin, you go first. Come on.
Hi, I'm Chowin. I don't like you.
We have Fortunato here. Say hello.
What's up, everybody? This is Fort. Hi.
Hand of God is in the house.
Yeah, that's me right here. So, hey.
Invariel.
Hi, I'm Invariel. I have no idea why I'm here, but I'm here.
He sure is.
Shit, I did a thumbs up thing and the internet didn't see it. I'm brilliant.
We have Craigu as well.
I am Craigu. Hi, Orange. That is all.
And Mr. She.
Howdy. This is She.
What were you up to before you got here?
Well,
I forgot all about Dominus. Hey, man.
Who?
That's right.
Do-ho-ho.
Ho-ho-ho.
I think this person right here is, oh, fuck. Is that Jubbles? Yeah.
Yeah, it's Jubbles.
What's the Mr. Yeah, that's Jubbles. Hi, how's it going?
Phineas Poe, the legendary. Finn.
The man, the myth, the legend.
Talking. And of course.
Yeah, that was she. This is, God damn it, can I introduce myself?
Of course.
Sounds every bit as grizzled as he. You're so nice.
Yeah. Yeah, okay?
Hey.
All right, and Spacey?
Can you believe I actually woke up for this shit?
And finally, Swine.
Well, hi, Fort Remorse. I'm probably the reason you're listening to this, because this is not funny at all.
All right, so there's the introductions out of the way. Good night, everyone.
Yay! Hey. Good podcast, IMO. Podcast, IMO.
Now I'm going to shut this
down. Good.
About Orange and how good it is. All right, so, guys, why don't we get started? We can either look in the old mailbag, or we can just do, like, I was thinking, like, we'll just go through the fucking episode 3, and this is going to take spoilers. And just talk about who did what and anecdotes related to it and, you know, shit like that. I figure it would just come out naturally. How do you guys feel about that?
So wait, are we doing both?
Oh, we can start off with, like, the episode 3 breakdown. Because I think people are interested in who wrote their favorite conversation and who did their favorite voice.
Okay.
And this is your chance to show off and bitch about how bad the process was and how much you hate, you know, player X. So why don't we, I don't know if you guys have the PDF open, and this is something I shared with you in the sing-along thread, but it basically breaks down all of the missions, and kind of just go through it, and, you know, you say, hey, I did that, and I was inspired by my lack of a sex life. Or
I'm still in shock that JB uttered the phrase, shit will come out naturally, and... and nothing came of that.
I have this high fiber diet. Okay, well, anyway, so guys, this is how. What doesn't someone just kind of break down how the actual apprentice program works right from the start?
Well, first there was this 12-year-old kid.
Okay, sorry.
See, there was this 12-year-old kid named Atomic Scriptor, and he was annoying as fuck. So that provided the creative spark that we all needed to write this horrible episode, was mocking and destroying him.
If anyone wants to hunt down some of Atomic Scriptor's, like, best of posts from the sweatshop and post it in the sing-along thread, that would be awesome.
Fun fact, he actually lives 20 minutes away from me.
That is fun.
I'm
having fun hearing it.
His name's love connection.
Okay, well, what actually happened was basically people came up with a whole bunch of ideas, pitched it. We all voted on it, like win, fail. And then I believe there was another vote where we kind of did like a poll or something about what we thought were the 20 best ideas. And then people were assigned as individuals or groups to actually write a script in Google Docs. And
you're forgetting the most important part, though.
What's that?
That was, we took all of the suggestions to a live sweatshop meeting in Toronto and basically vetoed everything everyone had come up with and just wrote our own crap and told everyone to write bad.
There were aspects of that. And actually, this is a good chance for me to kind of shout out to the unsung heroes of episode 3 because we kind of met in Evil Trout's dad's apartment and sat around
building and messed the place up and never went back. Then we met an Evil Trout's apartment.
I had to vacuum the place for 45 minutes because these guys can't seem to keep their crumbs like off the floor. And this would be some of the Crotch Zombie regulars like Invariel, Evil Trout's brother, Jew, Hayden. Evil Trout's girlfriend even showed up at one meeting and came up with some good stuff. And yeah, we basically workshopped it, came up with like some really disjointed, stupid ideas, and then I handed it off to these guys, and they had to make sense of it. And I thought they did an awesome job. That goes without saying. So why don't we go through some of the conversations? I got this PDF open. So ignoring the fact that, you know, all the cinematics and stuff like that, you know, I did most of those in the IDC conversations, but some of the conversations themselves, were done by these apprentices right here. So starting from the left-hand side, going down the Toronto track, you guys don't mind, you're embarrassed to take credit for this stuff, I hope.
Only if it's somebody else's.
So there was Alan Smithy.
So there was, right off the bat, we've got Carolyn Sparks. And that's the tough CEO. I don't know who actually came. I think we workshopped some of the ideas, but that was PLK who nailed it down. PLK, you want to talk a bit about that character or your experiences there?
That was actually the last character I wrote and the toughest one to do for me because, I don't know, she just wasn't quite, it just didn't come quite as naturally as all the others, but I think it ended up okay. I mean, she was a pretty tough, like,
gung-ho.
Yeah. And I had an infant kind of like that, so I tried to sort of draw from that and, like, some honest
things. Wasn't there something about you being a Girl Scout? Having handshake maintenance or something like that?
Oh, yeah. Let me see. There was a section in the conversation where she talks about, like, handshakes and stuff, and I kind of took that from this camp that I went to where we had to practice handshakes for, an hour. It's really weird.
Yeah, And that's, like, I thought did a really good job. Considering the notes were, you had to get the personality and you had to get all the Geronimo stuff where she's accusing you of hacking it. So there you go. Carolyn Sparks. And actually, I don't want to reveal too much, but the whole idea of having someone with a bad last name is based on a girl that I used to date. PLK knows just what I'm talking about. And I used to say, she was really attractive and smart and accomplished and everything. The thing is, I always had a feeling like she must have wanted to marry someone and soon just to change that name. But she actually, I think it actually gave her a lot of humility. And I guess this character had, you know, obviously grew up with a tough childhood and came out of it. So moving on, we've got Randroid. And this is an interesting case study in crowdsourcing collaboration. Who wants to take credit for this?
I wrote the first draft of the convo, and then after I got demoted, I pretty much stopped writing anything.
I
was pretty much yeah, exactly what happened.
I sort of took it over.
There's nothing personal.
This is Hannah Gott.
Yep.
And I don't know anything about Atlas Shrugged or any of the themes in that shrug to make it funny by adding things like disability scooters and, you know,
welfare.
Be tried taking. Yeah.
When I started it, it was a big mess. I couldn't nail down how I wanted the paths to work, so I sent it over to Hand of God, and Hand of God kind of cleaned that part up. And he's also responsible for all the Your Mom stuff. So if you thought Your Mom was pretty funny,
say thank you
to Hand of God. If you don't think that Your Mom stuff in that convo is funny, you can fuck off.
Well, that's Meatloaf's.
Hand of Shepherd Orange to Hand of God.
I believe it was Meatloaf who was complaining.
I think it was.
About the Your Mom joke. Of,
I accept
Hand
for
of God,
Meatloaf, who I love.
And really, that's...
Oh, well, then she...
Hand of God, also, this was interesting. He was the first person, I think, to take a conversation put into our Finite State Manager, FSM, which is basically the conversation builder. You guys might have seen that or even a video of... how did you find it? It's pretty much for the first time.
Yeah, I guess I sort of beta tested it for you or Lizard Pig, and it's very user-friendly. You just, I didn't really have any major hiccups with it, and the stuff we did, and Word documents and moving it over that, but the actual tool itself works very well.
Yeah, and
I'm probably never going to use it again, so that's awesome.
Well, you never know. I'm actually hoping, like, you know, we can make the technology kind of open, you know, so other people can use it across platforms. I got to give a fast shout out to Alan right now because he was responsible for moving like half the conversations over Google Docs, and he deserves his.
John.
I got paid to copy and paste.
And actually, for the whole, wasn't Randall, but didn't Odalisk help you with that, Fortuna?
A little bit. She was more involved with the convo that actually didn't make it in, the candy lover convo. I think she did a little bit on it, but I think that most of the final... Most of the final cleanup on that conversation was PLK, to my recollection, and I don't remember how much exactly PLK did. Well, I don't really know, honestly. I kind of just...
Well, there you go.
Dropped. Yeah.
By the way, Elise has to work today, so unfortunately couldn't make it.
Sad face.
Which is, I'm disappointed because I was saying I don't want to confront her about her trolling. Be forced to apologize, hurting my feelings.
On air.
Just kidding, I think Elise is great. She contributed quite a bit, like, you know, a really notable contribution she made would be the shit game messages. She, like, came up with, like, pages and pages of different ways to say, you just picked up a piece of shit. Very inventive ones, actually.
I remember brainstorming that game, and... amazingly weird conversation at all.
Yeah.
Just sitting around Will Trett's house, and this was just after he'd moved, I think.
Yeah, yeah.
And someone, JB, I think, comes up with a brilliant idea. You know, we could just have them picking up shit, and it would be awesome. Funny.
I think up with that
kid.
I think
you came up with the idea, and then after that, and said, no, that would never work. For another work demo, like 10 minutes later or something.
Yeah. Moving on along. Well, definitely this is Dobnitz's brainchild, was Orville T. Moneybags. And, Dob, you came up with an entire fucking arc for this character and the next one. And it involved a whole folded pop. So do you want to maybe talk a little bit about it?
Sure, yeah. I'll talk about it.
That's not Godness.
No. I was very sick.
I think Godness.
Oh.
And I saw this stereotypical crap coming down from the ceiling, and that's what I got the idea.
Was the stereotypical aristocrat actually an aristocrat?
No, he was. Well, in a fist, but you know how fevers are. And I came up with this mafia, the entire concept of the mafia to do this man. No one had ever thought of organizing crime before me.
Genius.
It was pretty bad.
Okay.
I'm scheduled to be vetting Dubnitz. I'm going to say who. And,
and okay. Cool.
I think TLK is back. I think Dubnitz is gone. Like, gone for good. No, we'll talk about back. Did you guys ever have
calm down for that?
Again?
Can I interact with Dominus once on IRC? I think he might be the primary reason I stopped for the new guy to channel. I don't know.
Well,
there may have been other factors, like school, but I think it was primarily Dominus.
Well, let's not have the guy. But I would tell you listen to him very well because he was probably assassinated all the princes with his little sound board. Every time someone said something stupid, you hear that special sound from the press, right? Whatever it was. And
actually upset for that now. You can just go to a website and click a button and hear that noise number one. Alternately, wait until 1 o'clock in the morning on CBS in like circa 1989 and listen to the sound effect whenever heard it.
Yeah. It doesn't. Let's move on. We're kind of getting like the wacky personality out of the open because I feel like I spent so much time with Charlie and I feel the moving right along. So anyway, he came up with this fucking thing. It's like, it was like 2 pages long.
You sound angry about it.
I'm sorry.
Talk.
I'm calm.
I'm kind of angry about it.
Well, anyway, it was a kid. And, Dominus was with you. He also came up with the whole idea of Al Capone being a mafioso. And it was written by, mostly, Dominus kind of and I took over. So, from a statement he did over the book, Al Capone, Seth Sebastian couldn't be there, he has a comparative statement. And, well, someone posted in the thread, if you don't mind. It was pretty long, and I want to read out. I would like to read it in his voice, but I didn't want to. Okay, so guys, what do we have next? The vendors, and,
let's not say something about Al Capone for a little bit. A character is going to be named Don Panini.
Yeah. Oh, and then we have a Skype call about what his business could be called. I don't know if anyone can say that.
I think it was an IRC chat.
No, it was in Skype, I think.
Name and everything, but we talked about Don Panini and IRC.
And we're talking many businesses. It's just like, you know, the Panini company. It's like, we the best shoes in the business. And, you know, like, and, but there's
oh, yeah.
like 30 or 40 of these. Now, backing up. She was there.
As we were wont to.
I think so.
I was IRC. I mean, that's social.
Yeah. When, so you're for the chaos. Okay, I got it. We did have a sheep in pocket.
Oh, yeah, I did. There were a couple of people that like been asked me and tried to do a really poor impersonation, but everybody believes them anyway, so they don't want to ask the real sheep. Everybody, no, you imposter. The real one's up to here. I'm like, fuck, whatever. I leave.
Yeah.
It's easy to impersonate you, though. Just, you know, Bible quotes and fur porn.
Yeah.
Sometimes you need me Bible quotes.
Isn't the Bible distilled furry parts of them?
Mine is.
I still remember when Bible were built the PDF manual.
Okay. Okay, so let's talk about some of the special class advantages, because I believe that here's, like, Hogg, even though he did the apprentice, did a flow of these. I think mostly because you just didn't want the glory. You claimed that you want to join this program, but we ended up giving you all this work because you're good at it. And,
what happened actually, I had quit Forum Wars, and then you guys announced this program, and I said, fuck you, and I'll do it. But I don't want to say that I did it because I'm embarrassed.
As you should be.
Yeah.
As we all are.
But, I think because it just weren't assigned to anybody, probably because you were just going to ask them, and I said, I'll do all of them, and then getting Heather.
Yeah, Heather was PLK, and she did a ton of research in, hackers. To get that going. And that's Heather is the geek. Heather who was the one who
actually. Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was just written based on herself, though.
Hey, fuck you, whoever you are.
You're still getting away.
Sense of Loves. Was the camcorder vendor who is a used panty salesman that I came up with actually when I was beta testing the finite state machine. Mm-hmm. Is what it's called.
Yeah.
There was an intro sort of instruction manual that was actually a stock conversation, and I was given the task of writing that, and for whatever reason, I came up with this character on the spot, and I decided, hey, he's pretty funny. I'm going to force him into the game somehow.
Yeah, and I think that's how the whole idea of class-based vendors even came around. And so we gave ourselves four more fucking characters to write, plus each of them have to have three items, which are supposed to be really awesome, but actually have terrible stats, but another story. And then the whole story... Who actually came up with the SOAR interface? That was either PLK or Hogg.
I think I did it just or maybe she did it. I don't know. I just kind of...
I did it. Yeah, the whole part where you actually buy it and loop around and,
yeah.
That probably makes more sense that you did it.
I think you had a rudimentary one, and then PLK kind of spruced it up.
Mind it.
Well, it's actually not true. Like, putting that into the conversation, I had to do that three or four times. It was just brutal. Because it was like, are you sure? Let's do that again. I'm like, fuck, man, make up your mind. But it turned out really well. And so who are the other ones that you did?
Slappy Scrunt, who, I guess you came up with the idea of a clown rapist, right?
Well, it's a big part of mythology, yeah.
Right. But I think clown rape is mentioned at least 12 times throughout various aspects of the game, including
of episode 1 in the intro?
Yep.
Yeah. And the hacker class also gets raped by a clown for some reason.
And the permanent becomes a clown rapist. How many people
but, But yeah, so you said that you wanted to. I think I came up with the idea of the guy that goes around and produces all of the shock that the internet has ever seen or witnessed, and you said, yeah, and he's a clown rapist. And it's like, okay, so you write this whole fucking thing back a lot. but, yeah, it's just pretty much how it pans out.
Yeah.
Well,
it's pretty far-fetched, I mean, to be honest. I mean, the whole...
Yeah.
You don't say.
The whole
one guy comes out with all of the shock on the internet. This is all that perfect.
He just claims
okay.
It, is what I'm saying. And it's actually, since no one knows exactly who these people are, so I really wanted to reveal that all five members of the same person who said, fuck that, that's good, and we've done that already, or plan to do that, so... Yeah, it's a ridiculous concept, but I thought it worked out really well, and of course, the Tub Sonic was fantastic. And who
Thank you.
Did the Tub Sonic? That was none other than Hawk.
That was me.
Did you record that at work?
I recorded it in my car in the parking lot at work, so...
Hawk and I...
Just my back.
Hawk and I...
You guys have a lot
Hawk
of
I had a... Very nearly had an epic battle to see who would end up doing Slappy Scrunt, but after I heard his version of it, I was like, well, fuck, I can't compete with that. So,
Cheese version was very awesome.
It was for a different character, because originally the tryout for it was just insane person, and so it ended up sounding more like Heath Ledger's Joker or something more than, like, oh, I'm an insane clown rapist. So
right.
I figured that the best that I would be able to do would just be maybe match Hogs and stuff, like, whatever, you can have it.
There's a recording of me out there doing a very early version of this clown. I think he sounded more like Dr. Phil. Pretty bad.
I have it.
No,
Hogs is literally the worst thing I've ever heard. It's like a cowboy... gay clown.
Well, yeah, because wasn't Slappy Scrunt was originally supposed to be some redneck.
Mm.
Well, sort of, kind of. Mm-hmm. The funny thing about the Slappy thing was that I was sitting there and Hog wanted to do it and she wanted to do it and I was like, oh my god, I don't want to make a decision. I don't want to make a decision. And eventually the decision got made for me. So thanks, guys. And I don't.
It all worked out.
It sounded amazing, and I think the addition of that clown music, which is actually a Czech military march, just makes it 10 times funnier.
Where did that come from? Did you find that?
Yeah, I found a MIDI file on fucking Wikipedia, and I had to convert it to an MP3. So I don't know if we're allowed to use it.
Oh dear, no. Not
hey,
one quick tool for
converting
type of music to the same file type of music.
Hey, are we all on the same team? But
if it's on Wiki, if it's on Wiki, it's fair game. I'm all.
That's how I see it. Anyway, yeah, that's what it was. And I thought it sounded pretty good. And then you got everyone's favorite character, Super Genius 2. Just reading
he
that.
Was, I am probably, well, somebody else started it. I forget who.
Yeah, that was actually Blackwabats who started it. Blackwabats,
yeah, he was
out from Kregu, I think.
They were doing it, I think it was mostly Blackwabats, started doing it as the intro to the drafting system, I think.
That's what it is, yeah.
Or the other way around, I think he started the intro to the crafting system, and then I guess there was a miscommunication about whether he was doing voice to speech or speech to text.
Yes.
Or whatever. So I had to rewrite quite a large chunk of it because he wasn't ever doing it, and I just got tired of waiting. Not that I was ever one to not procrastinate, but... so yeah, I was the one that was responsible for making it absolutely a chore to read.
Yeah.
So you're welcome.
I find it, honestly, like, if you bother to read it, and I don't know how many people will, it's got some clever wordplay. And
I honestly don't know how you invented that many words. Like, it hurt my brain to even try to think of that.
It's, once I was in character, like, once I had typed out a few of them, a few lines, I just couldn't stop typing with that, and I got in a lot of trouble at work, writing up reports like that, and it was the whole thing. My wife almost left me because I was speaking like that. It was just,
I take some credit for making it even worse. I had a bunch of fucked up forms. Oh yeah.
Yeah.
What happened?
JD did do a lot of editing.
And then there is Garth X Bloodlust. That was
I literally waited until you were like, we absolutely need this, and then I wrote it in like 2 hours.
Well, there was no punctuation needed, so that saved time.
Right. He was a confusing one to write for because we ended up not writing him at all.
Yeah.
And instead wrote manager and just made him a tub client somehow.
Mm-hmm.
I don't remember how or why we ended up going that route, but we
I think
did.
The idea of a industrial musician is not that funny. And I had an idea that this guy's name is Garth Bloodlust, and he's a singer for Anal Bloodlust. I like any references to anuses, and that was where it that was like as much.
The joke has been told.
Yeah. So he turns to manager. I thought that was a brilliant innovation.
And yeah, and then my inspiration for the manager was cocaine.
That's
a cocaine type man. Just
we're all inspired by cocaine.
Run on sentences. I'm pretty good at run on sentences. So
I'm on cocaine now.
Why are you holding out?
Yeah, those were some marathon sentences there. And it was still reasonable. As long as it's into the chat window, that's all we want. So that's that track. Why don't we climb back on up, and we have the FBO shit. Okay, everyone loves Aunt Geraldine. Who came up with this thing to begin with? Does anyone actually know?
Was it me?
Bashy?
I thought it was Bashy.
I think it was
Bashy's idea. It was his original.
I think it was.
Pretty much everybody.
Bashy
Does anyone want to talk about, like, the genesis of how this started? Because it was just one really well-organized but empty Google Doc that Bashy shared with all of us. And Bashy is like, a ninja on the Google Docs. So we had, like, 31 days to fill out. And honestly, so many people contributed to this. Otis Beeson did a couple, and Otis were really good. Like, she really nailed the old-timey language. Like, she must have a grandmother that she chats with or something, because, like, she got all these expressions out. And then Corey Jess, who couldn't make it either, he did the very first one, if I'm not mistaken, the whole ghosty thing. And Chowin, I think, tried his hand at a couple that I thought were really good. I did a few. I did the Hitler one, obviously, because I'm enamored with all things Nazi. And I think
who wrote her away message?
That would be okay.
I get all the time.
Yeah. I actually think I should cut out the set because I'm sick of closing the window and getting, are you sure? Because I don't want to read it again. And I might actually... I don't know, like, it's a nice idea, but considering I do this I do this once a day, because I'm like, what? This shit hasn't rolled over yet? I want that team.
Doing it right now.
Yeah, I wonder how many of the people listening to this are like, oh, yeah, I need to do that.
Yeah. Do it. And the but vast majority was done by PLK, and she did the entire kidnapping Bob Barker slash fixing them. So PLK, like,
that's
there was
a bit of, right now.
And that was one of you tell us inspired the Bob Barker fan fiction.
Well, you know, I do like Bob Barker a lot. I don't know. I guess we were just talking in the IRC, and this this document was sitting, like, I don't know, half done for a really long time, and it was getting closer and closer to when we had to get these things done, and so I just thought, well, fuck it, I'll do it. And I was talking to, I guess, Craig about Clerks 2, and so I incorporated some elements from that, and then I thought, well, I'll just keep putting her in more dangerous and creepy, upping the ante, and that's what happened.
Yeah, and it, the thing is, it was never supposed to be kind of a serial thing. We always intended to be, there would be one standalone conversation a day
and
at any time, but then PLK kind of went nuts and we realized we had to change it, but I think in the end it works out better. It does, like, people probably notice that she goes from 60 to 0 pretty quickly and she becomes senile again, but I think you can explain that as, while she was in Mexico, she was off her meds, but the meds were just keeping her down. Once she got back on her meds, it makes no fucking sense, but yes, it was really hard to take 30 conversations that were written completely out of order, except for about a dozen, and then put them into a logical order. But it was a lot of fun. And Phineas wrote the final convo. Oh, I guess...
Swine wrote two of them.
Swine wrote two, yes, that is true. See, so everyone, this is highly collaborative. There was a lot of editing involved. And Finn did the final one, which there's probably some spoilers there, so we're not going to... But I love the poems that he wrote in the end. Pond and Autumn's Internet Nitrates. Yes, there you go. That's what I want to hear. Speaking of Phineas, he did one of what I thought was the best characters in the game, Space Killer. Why don't you talk a little bit about players?
I think it was you who came up with the idea of the Bligger. I just went with it.
Is this the Bligger guy?
No, Spooky.
No. It's,
not Bligger. Spooky.
Right. That combo made me laugh so hard.
Thank you. I try. but it was fun to write. I got to write some really shitty raps.
Those raps are odd.
Yeah, there's not really that much else to say about it.
I just thought it came together really well. Like, it's kind of the concept that I came up with, because, like, I'm from Toronto, where, no offense to my African Canadian brothers and sisters, but being black here, you get no street credibility. You're just like a white guy who's out of 10. And black dudes acting like white dudes acting black. I'm like, geez, man, like, they're not even buying this. So, you end up with, like, a really weird culture where people don't really know how they're supposed to present themselves. And I kind of just ended up on all these things.
Kind of a culture about people that know this, say, well, I'm not buying this.
Well, there's something called, I forgot the word for it, when you're in a different company, you act a certain way. Code switching, I think it's called. It's kind of like, invariably, like when you're in the gay neighborhood, you kind of have the feather boa and you're prancing around, but when you're with us,
the thing is, you live in the gay neighborhood.
I do not.
So what
I know
you do, I know exactly where you live. I've been to your house.
I live in the slums. It's like rough neighborhood. Gunshots. I just heard a gunshot go off. Bang.
That was amazing. How you totally, you know. convinced me. Despite the fact that I beat to your building, glass windows.
Oh, dude, all windows are glass.
And, well, yes, but these are fucking custom-sized glass windows standing 7 or 8 foot tall.
Nope, no more news for my stalker. Okay, I think she got kicked off. I think Craig got kicked off, too. And I think that's everyone. Okay, and of course, anyone can tell that the rap was done by none other than Fortunato. And it was pretty hysterical.
Yes, that's me. Huh? Should have been faster. Well, you never told me a damn, you never gave me a damn bit of direction, so meh.
There was so much communication, we should have been a fucking telecom. Didn't pay any mind.
Sometimes, you gotta just speak up. You gotta speak up for something that is bothering you, important lesson for you all. So,
it was
Checky Salad.
Bothering me?
What's that?
Well, I spent 2 hours recording the awful money bag, John Solis, and I didn't even get into the bloody episode.
I'm sorry, man. You just didn't sound What did you say, Finn?
It's because his voice sounds
Well, he has this weird accent.
Oh, that's what they call
foreigners.
Hey, what's that thing you kept saying when you were imitating the American accent, Shawin?
Cheeseburger.
Cheeseburger.
Do you like a cheeseburger?
We just should have
exactly how we sound.
Because we are all the Swedish shit.
Totally nailed it.
Keith Salisbury was also a great genius conversation. Although, was it all you who basically wrote it? I think the jokes were a group effort.
Yeah, the jokes attack was a group effort, and,
although,
yeah, I
wrote most of them in the group effort.
Yeah, Shecky Salisbury was, I thought, really, really funny. And the voice was done by, just a friend of mine who's a voice actor. No, do not speak, we cut him. He did a good job, too, and actually, it was a really tough decision to make, but I just thought, my buddy, and I think I could kind of put it to a vote informally, and everyone said, yeah, no, just use this guy. And Donatus,
For the record, I voted for Donatus.
Oh, okay. That was it was supposed to be an anonymous vote.
Well, and another thing, there's something here that PP, could you talk about the inspiration for that character?
Oh, well, that and the unknown comic are both based off of Neil Hamburger, who I really love. He's a character by a guy named Greg Turkington. And if you've never listened to any Neil Hamburger stuff, I suggest you do it. He's pretty damn funny. Like a Sam.
He actually came.
He came?
Good.
No, that's but he deserves to
go. I was gonna say he did a show or played or whatever you call it here in my town like maybe 3 weeks ago. Some of his jokes are hilarious.
Yeah, he's like an intentionally bad comedian. Like one of my favorite jokes of his is why did Metallica's hairdresser say they have to cut their hair? What was the only way to get all the matted cum out of it? That's a hamburger joke.
And it was Hot February Night is the one that you recommend people listen to if they can find it.
Oh yeah, that's my favorite because I've listened to.
That one's awesome.
I have to check that out.
It's so funny.
God, it's real good. He's opening up. It's become the Neil Hamburger past, I guess. But yeah, it's good.
Finn, did you ever do any stand-up yourself?
No. I would like to, but there's nowhere around here to really do it.
That's perfect. Just stand on a street corner.
We do have a lot of street preachers, so maybe I should get that going.
Hey, Finn, do you have your own version of the Aristocats joke?
Oh, no, I don't.
You should write one.
I should.
I would love to.
I think that's been done.
I think someone's drinking coffee.
That's me.
I like it. I mean,
sweet tea, sorry.
Oh, okay, close enough. Yeah, okay, it's got her cocaine, you've got your sweet tea, and we're moving on.
And I'm drinking Miller Genuine Draft. It's morning.
It's a little early, isn't it?
That's what I drink. Show that for Miller High Life.
It's my coffee.
Okay, so then we got next on the list. Next up was Boz, and I think most people know that I did that one. And,
who was that based?
And it was based on Buzz, right? It's based on Buzz?
Buzz Lightyear. Buzz Lightyear. No, it was based on Oz. I mean, you know, Oz. This guy, he used to post a whole lot and then doesn't so much anymore. He's actually not one of the guys who trolls us often. I just thought the name was so awesome. And I think Dominus came up with the name. Sorry?
John, I got basically. I just want to tell him what Forum Wars are, you know.
Well, if you play Forum Wars, you pretty much are a giant faggot.
Yeah.
True.
If there's one thing you take from this podcast conversation, it should be that statement.
I think you should just edit everything else out and the podcast would just be that sentence.
Yeah, just...
It actually made me spit out my water.
Yeah. Mission accomplished, then.
Was it water?
It was water, okay.
Boz
was a lot of fun. And then, okay, here's one. Spitfire 451. Does anyone know?
Oh, he's written by my favorite poster.
Wasn't that Celery Steam?
It sure was.
Yeah, that was CS. Yeah.
But I can't give him full credit. Bashy did a ton of rewriting on that one. And this is basically what got Celery Steve fired. Well, among other things.
Oh, with the bad pun there too, because he wrote a conversation about, yeah.
Nice.
Oh, I get it. Fire.
Well, there's two.
Didn't somebody explain it to me? I don't get it.
Fire's hot. Sometimes it burns people.
Oh, okay, so like, it was so hot that he had to quit?
Yeah.
I should you say he was as hot as in attractive. And it,
I think the joke was he dropped it like it's hot.
Oh, guys.
What the fuck are we talking about again? Fire?
Spitfire. The thing about Celery Steve was two things. One was he was constantly trolling our apprentice sub forum, and I know you guys can handle it, so everyone was begging for me to fire him. The main reason was all the conversations that made it through at least two drafts, and part of my, you know, Find the Apprentice program was you write the first draft, it gets voted on, then you do an edit, and you're kind of semi-randomly assigned to someone else's conversation. I see how you punch it up. And Celery Steve, oh, I'm sorry. After the first draft, I asked for an edit yourself, and then you were assigned to someone else's conversation. But Celery Steve is the only person who didn't do a revision on his first draft. I told him that I thought some stuff was out of character, and I thought some stuff I just didn't like, and he just didn't do it. And he didn't do his revision of
DLK. Did he fix the typo?
No, he didn't.
Didn't he fix the typo? No? Okay.
No, he actually, he said it was intentional, and it was part of his art. And I don't know what his problem was exactly. I think he just doesn't like to take direction. And that's understandable. He did the Falcon Fucker conversation, and I thought it was really good. I thought it was really funny, but he didn't really like doing edits on it. He didn't like my edits. So I think some people are just really protective of their own copy, and that's perfectly reasonable. But when you're dealing with an editor, you sometimes have to buck up or get fired. And that's what happened to him. He got fired. Oh, man, just got that. Because of fire.
I'm so glad you called back to that.
All right, let's get the leader.
Bashy did a good job turning it into something. He did the whole thing about barbecued beef curtains and searing my sausage. And Bashy loves anything that is inappropriate sex jokes or puns. That's his handiwork, and I really enjoy it.
Yeah,
And Cox. Also, Cox, as the saying goes. Let's move on. Lonely Gunman, or Mark, say me again. Tough to keep that character going for another round. I gotta admit, it wasn't easy, and he's got that strange style of writing, and that was challenging, but did the best job I could and just try to get to the point. And then we've got, Shalosophagus. Now, Shalosophagus is Evil Trouts' purview. He did all the episode 1 and 2 shallow conversations, and he did a bunch in this one, mostly the end game stuff. There are some other shallow things that other people wrote, including PLK and She with Kregu, but we can kind of get to those later. And that was really tough. And Evil Shroud is the only person in this apprentice group who refused to do a Google Docs conversation before moving it to the FSM. And I begged him to do it in Google Docs so we could actually just edit typos and you know, sentence structure. But he's like, no, I think it thwarts my creativity. I'm going to do it in this. Don't worry, it'll be fine. I'm like, okay, so now when I edit something, I have to click on a box, change it, wait for it to save, and then move on to the next box. So literally, hey, I just said Xbox, didn't I?
No, you didn't. Okay. I mean, you did, but only when you were busy saying, hey, I said Xbox.
That's true. Okay. Once again, Invariable's keeping us honest. All right, how about Nutestacles, which is its own track? That was highly collaborative. I think, like, we had 4 different writers.
I think the total was 3.
Wasn't it Corey Jeffs with
Dr. Kami? Professor Kami,
PhD. Benton cleaned it up, and you did all the tubmails.
I did a lot of editing on the tubmails too.
Yeah, she was, I think, the editor assigned to that. And that was like kind of a disaster. We had so many people on. We had so many versions. But in the end, I like how it turned out. I think the entire idea was also Phineas's, just the idea of not.
Actually, Corey, Jess, and I came up with the idea like independently of each other and both kind of submitted it during the log line stage.
Right. Yeah, you guys came up with the idea of a cult leader, and I'm like, well, let's just combine the 2 aspects of it. I think having a character named Nutestacles is pretty much irresistible. Rasputin-like. So that one had some problems with it. Like, I had to go back after MC Banhammer complained about the conversation flow. And the truth is, it did kind of force you down the same path over and over. But it turned out well. And the tubmails, I thought, were an awesome little thing to just come at you out of nowhere. Although the whole thing about where the soul of man never dies, the twist at the end where it's a shoe store, that's the cam whores are complaining that they think it's a real shoe store and where the bookmark is.
Really?
Mm-hmm. I think we had 3 complaints.
That's funny and sad.
It's funny and sad. So that's why I added at the end, coming in 2012. And since the world's ending by then anyway, I figured no one.
Jeez.
That's my solution. All right. Jet Set Lover. That was all bashy all the time because it's based on his own real experience, if I'm not mistaken. That one, I liked it. The tone is it's funny because – now you can kind of see how the tone changes from conversation to conversation. And player one in that one is like a little bit more sarcastic and just kind of cruel overall. But I guess, you know, it just depends on how you're feeling that day. Hands got dropped. Just a second here. Guys, you can say this out loud when this happens, by the way. Because I'm not checking my messages. Too much to read and talk at the same time. Now,
one track mind in the apprentice squad.
Hogmaster Doug, this was like an epic challenge for us to even incorporate all the rules. and I think it gave ET nightmares, but this piece of brilliance was TLK once again. And maybe you could talk a little bit about Hugmaster and what he means to you.
He's kind of based on a couple different people that I've known, a couple different pretty creepy people.
Yes, there are people
maybe
like that.
One of them's a Forum Wars user. Yeah.
Oh, was former, maybe user.
Yeah. Not much player, but
pretty
player.
Much former band. Yeah.
I was thinking of inviting Merc with Mouth to this conversation. By the way, just as an aside.
You should have.
What's that?
I'd be Hugmaster Merc.
I don't think
like,
he's
that. Seriously. Weren't some of those conversations based off actual chats with him? Like, I know I've had a few really creepy moments with him. He's
yeah,
like,
there were some ethically creepy.
I was a girl and tried to cyber me.
Unadapted. Yeah.
Do you think he should get credit and the tail credits for this? Like,
yes, very much so. Thank you for the inspiration.
We did name the team. The peen Merc without a penis named after him. And I think someone even asked about it in the Apprentice thread there. And I think it's the person who came up with it we can get to, but
August still dropped.
Oh, fuck. Hog.
Didn't Cram Shapes come up with the idea for Hugmaster?
Oh. You know, maybe... That might have been, like...
Yeah, she came up with the log line, and then I think when I went to write it for his personality, that was when I kind of borrowed elements from creepy people I've known.
Right. She actually came up with a
lot of... I remember editing... Go ahead. I remember editing an early draft of the Hugmaster script, and I was skeezed out. I was really creeped out by that, and just, wow.
I think by far the best part of the entire conversation are the changing avatars.
Oh, yeah.
Awesome. and those are all public domain pictures from Wikipedia, or Wikimedia Foundation.
Be afraid.
It was chills. Supremely creepy, but also really funny. And I did the voices for him, so actually, you know, I guess...
So if any of you are creeped out by the thumbnails, you know who to be creeped out of.
Yeah, I didn't think it was that creepy. Warm. So, yeah.
Okay, so moving on.
Who's next? Can you get the boss thread? Great Scott, that was me. Always wanted to do something making fun of the Scots and their excessive use of the C word.
Cunt.
Cunt, yeah.
You should have somebody on the podcast.
Cunt.
He's from Scotland.
Oh, is he?
Is he?
Yeah. Meaning to ask my wife about that.
Oh, shit, guys, I'm getting an IM from Vanguard. And he goes, dude, meeting on a Sunday morning, la am. I think he means lame. Well, Vanguard, I guess that's too bad. He said he was going to be in this thing, but I guess not. Vanguard is actually quite a good writer, I think, but didn't really get a chance to contribute much. He didn't even write a conversation. He did do something, which... I don't even want to necessarily talk about it because I do really want this to be a piece of post-episode 3 content. And I have to say, with all due respect to everyone here, actually reading the shit that he wrote made me laugh harder than anything I have seen so far. And it's almost unreadable, but it's fucking hysterical. So hopefully that gets a chance to come out. But Vanguard is a very strange guy. He really likes to talk about mudkips. And includes it in every aspect of conversation. So I don't know what's up with that.
No wonder you laugh so hard.
Yeah, exactly. But no, trust me, it's funny fucking stuff. And by the way,
my understanding that JB is fond of open month tips.
Are you going to pimp my ride with some mudkips?
No.
Okay. Well, good. I don't want them. Does anyone else drop from the conversation I need to add? Yeah.
I don't think so.
Good, good. Let's move right along to Carson Norman. Carson Norman, and the whole stretch there was Carson Norman, shallow esophagus, big chief swollen anus. That was all written by PLK. Believe it or not, one person is responsible for it. We came up with a lot of the ideas ourselves. Obviously, Big Chief Swollen Anus is a reference to the douchebag item that you get in, I think, episode one, if you're a troll. And no one really liked this idea among the apprentices, but we're like, this is funny, we're doing it. We thought that garbagebagfullofsmokes.com was probably the funniest thing ever.
We thought garbage bag full of smokes was so funny that it came up in like five consecutive meetings, and we talked about garbage bag full of smokes more than we talked about the entire rest of episode three, actually.
There's just something
over the conversation, and at like 2:30 someone would say garbage bag full of smokes, and there would be a 30 minute long giggle fit, go to the store and buy snacks, come back, and someone else would mention it, and then the meeting would be over.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm sorry?
If you want to take one thing, you all high during this.
I heard something about hide from this?
Nothing. Never mind. Talking about Naga hide.
Oh. I don't know.
Varial just dropped, Mike.
Oh, Varial dropped.
He didn't.
Oh, good.
No, I did. I thought JB kicked me or something.
Been thinking about it, but hey, does someone have like a window open? Because I hear like sounds of people playing in the streets. Oh, it's gone now.
Window open.
Sorry.
Who is that?
Hand of God.
Oh, dude, don't be watching TV. We're having a podcast.
I'm not, Mike. My children are, and I am being a very unattentive father.
Tell them to
you.
Stop.
This is from them?
What? Don't you have chains in the closet for locking them in there? Go do that.
Oh, no. Yeah. All right.
Hey, but you go to jail if you use them too much. Trust me.
Trust you.
Speaking of jail, Pavlov. Okay, that was a bad transition, but Pavlov. Pretty much everyone's favorite character, I think, if you were to poll the community. And I'm pretty much going to have to take full credit for it. Oh, wait, no.
I hated it so much.
It was Phineas Poe taking a really, the concept was right there. I don't think you've ever seen or read The Watchmen.
No, I have. I don't know where you're getting that from.
Oh, I thought you said you did.
Who watches The Watchmen anyway?
No, I... Good question.
Let's ruminate on that. No, sorry, go on, Finn.
I don't really have much to say, except it was real fun coming up with the concept of the neighborhood watch. I enjoyed that.
Yes. That was gold. And the early riser thing, like, just the fact that they're the reason that we lost Vietnam. And it's just like, it was really like, it just tells a story. And you can tell that he's building up. And just all the outlandish examples of his violent sense of justice. I think it was just really a lot of fun. And, you know, the way it was written, I thought it was awesome. I think most people do. A lot of people LOL'd while reading it. Because, you know, reading is not a really big thing.
It's for loot.
It is. Anyway, so that's Pavlov.
And then I was the illustrious voice of Pavlov, if you didn't guess that already.
Yeah. Yeah, she obviously. Yeah. And we actually had more tries for that than anything, I think. Like, I tried it. My buddy who recorded a bunch of voices tried that one. And then, she did a really good job, and I actually, now most of the voice direction was done by Fortunato. And Fort, maybe you want to talk about what process you used. if Porch is, I don't know if he's responding. But,
I was muted. Jesus, guys. Trying to be polite.
Oh, hey.
So, the process basically consisted of me, finding the person on Skype, making them record, in Chawin's case, 18 takes, in Xi's case, 5 very, very quiet takes. and then,
my mic is not so good.
Then sitting on them for 3 weeks, and, because they age like fine wine. then sending them completely unchanged to JB. That was my process.
Yeah. It was, the whole audio thing was really tricky to do. You know, people are from around the world, they all have different schedules, and you can't just write something. You gotta be there and perform. And it's really hard to get a good performance out of someone who's not a professional actor. But I think all the voices turned out pretty well. I'm happy with them.
I'm still a little sad about Donatus because his version of Shecky I really liked.
Well, Fort, why don't you upload that to SendSpace or something and link into it, sing along to it, and people can listen to it. I think people would like to hear that. I think Donatus.
Actually, that's a good idea. I will try and rustle it up.
Okay, cool. And mute yourself again. Just kidding. You can say whatever you want. Or sing. But then I did the voice direction for Xi, and that was kind of cool, you know, just like, you know, all right, take two, go. And that actual version that you hear is spliced from about 3 different ones. And because your mic was really shitty and kept cutting out, but what can you do, right?
It's, and you bought it for me, blame yourself.
Yeah, but you picked it out. It could have made
well,
pressed your budget.
Because it was the only one that was like $20.
I think 15, actually. Okay, so then there's, after Pavlov, you got Oedipus, and that one was me. You can probably tell from the huge amounts of text involved. And I really liked the whole idea of, oh yeah, there's a lot of your mom jokes in that one too. That explains it. But I just like the idea of Shaden, Freudian analyst who's reverting back to their child phase, and then yeah. Even this was a lot of fun to do, and I had a lot of help from the cross zombie people in our round table meetings. Okay, so then moving on, we have the whole Arwox or the geriatric hacker or Nordstrom's dad. And the idea itself, I think, came from Dobnitz to have, like, a really old-school hacker. But the conversation itself was written by a very unlikely duo. I think it was Xi.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah, sure.
I don't know what the percentage was there.
Well, how it ended up working was Craig and I would do nothing for like a week, and then I would be like, hey, Craig, we should probably write something. So then we'd get together, and I would write everything, and he would do all the coding bits because I don't know technical stuff. And then he would give, like, suggestions on how to, like, punch up some of the jokes or something or plot points or keeping it organized. And after, I don't know, way too long and finally stopping procrastinating, we just gave it over to JB, and then a lot of people edited it, and that was the best of it.
Yeah.
I was really impressed. Like, Xi just sat down and he fucking wrote right from start to end. I didn't actually have to give him too many, you know, oh, you forgot something there. He did a really good job.
Yeah, I agree. Arwox is one of my favorite characters, and Xi, I think, is one of the best writers we have, and I really was hoping he would do a lot of conversations, but this time wasn't there. But Arwox was a really integral part of episode 3 and turned out, I think, awesome. It's a very real character, and I think people were kind of sad to see him go. But I liked it a lot, and Craig, who did all these code bits, which I kind of fucked up for the sake of expediency, like quant anti-enemy.
You did.
Yes, he pointed out
yes,
that.
Yes,
you do. Did you? Did you realize, you did realize that all of the code bits he put in were actually Easter eggs that would do things, right?
I kept most of the Easter eggs. There were some that weren't okay. Easter eggs, and those are the ones that I just had time because it would have broken the S-talk window. Like, you just can't do 900 lines of code and expect to go through
one. So for all you listeners out there that have rudimentary skills, you should go try to figure out what they have been ciphered or where they lead.
Yes, and they used some of the same ciphers in the Halloween challenge, and the guy's name itself is obviously some kind of cipher. Not going to give it away what kind. And Craig, he uses hacksawing skills to get that going. And the thumbnails that you see regarding our walks were done by Phineas. And Phineas actually did help with an early version of this character that a lot of it got cut for better or for worse, but it just kind of for better, let's say, because it was a really
we used some of it.
Yeah, some of it.
There was a big some of it. Like it was. We kept the good parts, and then some of it led to a kind of different area that we didn't really feel like fit with the character.
It got off.
It ended up turning out really well, I think. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. And, like, the idea, like, I remember having a Skype conversation with you and Kregu and just kind of telling, okay, this is what we need to do. It's, we decided this hacker is now Nordstrom's dad. And, you know, just coming up with ideas. I know, it must
be. I remember that.
But then I saw the document you produced, and it had all these notes there, and it was all color-coded, and it had all kinds of brackets, you know, curly brackets, you know, containing all the ideas. And I'm like, this is happening. It was really exciting to see it come to life. So our walks is awesome, and that you can give credit to a whole bunch of apprenti for that. And after that cycle is done, there's Geronimo and PS88. Yeah, that was me. I wrote his or her, no one really knows for sure, dialogue that was really, really long. Ones where Rory shows up. And I just tried to make a diabolical and just generally evil person. It's based on a real-life kid who went and shot at the school, and he called himself Natural Selector 88, and he had this kind of Nazi thing going on. And the whole thing about him using the whole, all your base are belong to us, I shamefacedly take responsibility for that, but I do have to say it was meant to be a placeholder, and I just kind of said, okay, I have no idea what this guy is going to be about. I put that in there. And then in the end, that wasn't supposed to be his attacks. The attacks were supposed to look like kind of code bursts. But E.T., just the placeholder, kind of just took lines of dialogue from what I had as a placeholder, and you end up with stupid internet memes circa 2000. But in the end, I guess you can kind of excuse that because, well, we never really made reference to that particular meme, and it's a classic. I think it needs to be in there. And in a way, it is more powerful than other memes. I mean, by this stage in the game?
Rationalization.
Yeah. Well, think about it. What is possibly going to harm your ego at this point in the game? Like, nothing. So someone's going to say, well, you know, this is the give me a random form. It doesn't matter. And then come up with an insult that's related to that. That's not really going to harm your ego. This PS88 is so powerful with their magical hacking code that no matter what they say, it's going to fucking kill you. And that's my story.
I was actually really hoping from the very beginning of the Apprentice project when I heard about this hacker that there's going to be a Tubsonic for him because I relish every chance that I can to use my low voice for evil-sounding recordings.
That would have been good, except I think...
Why would he send you a Tubsonic? Like, it doesn't make sense. So.
It doesn't. And especially because he becomes four...
Unless it's five. Full of... Breath.
The Tubsonic would actually have that sound in there that would kill you. So they wouldn't be like, hey, I'm sending you this sound... don't want to kill you or anything.
Yeah.
Say hello. How you doing? So we were supposed to do one for each villain that he impersonates, except that made no sense whatsoever. And as for those villains themselves, we got Alicia, Heaven Sent, the pop star. Bashy wrote that one. I don't think he had a lot of trouble writing it because he types like a cam horn normally. Okay. But actually, when you see him in the chat, he will say hi with like 18 eyes. I think he just likes to be exuberant. Zange, that was written by me, as well as one of the other unsung heroes, Abdullah Oblongata. He actually just came by my apartment one day and we're sitting there drinking beers and coming up with violent ways to kill people. And Abdullah actually was really helpful in coming up with the avatar names. We didn't use Forum Builder Elite to come up with avatars for any of the forums. And we did come up with a really crude way of sharing all the images and got the apprentices to contribute, but there was literally over 1,000 avatars, and me and I sat in the room and came up with them. So here's a shout-out to you. I know you're not listening. Then you got Raven LaDouche, PLK. That was awesome. Why don't you talk a bit about your Creole adventures?
What was that? You're cutting it. I can't really hear you.
Oh, I'm sorry. Are you guys having trouble with the audio?
I'm not. I'm fine.
Oh, well, I just thought you did a good job.
Me.
You did? Oh, yeah. You did get kicked a bunch of times. But I thought it was really good how you clearly did a ton of research, Raven LaDouche, into the whole Creole language. And it's very time. Who the hell is, like, playing with a coin?
I am. I'm spending
it. Just think of it. There was a lot of work. Finn, are you bored?
Very loud.
I have nothing to do with my hands right now.
Oh. Finn is a smoker.
Well.
I am. Actually, I smoked my apartment fall so far this year, but I did during this podcast.
Oh, man. I feel bad.
Yeah.
Well, would you say that nicotine fuels your creativity?
No, I think hate and depression does.
Those are two of my favorite things.
Oh, I love them.
Okay. You gotta stop. It sounds like I'm hitting the jackpot every time.
All right, well, that's a good feeling.
It's not, because I...
No, you're alive.
I'll do it quiet.
Thank you. We're almost at the end, and actually, I believe we are. Oh, right, Coppertine. Oh, here we go. This is an interesting Finn story, because this was done by Phineas, obviously. He's the Permanoob villain, and Bashy did, like, a really... Not major overhaul, but he did a tweak on it of his whole voice. And I remember, Finn, that you were really unhappy with what Bashy did.
Yeah. Coppertine was my favorite character that I wrote. Like, I really liked it, him. And just didn't want anyone touching my baby.
No, that makes sense, you know. I think a lot of writers are that way. Because I told you, man, I thought this was a great conversation. Don't change anything. And then Bashy says, I'm going to make some changes. I'm like, yeah, okay. And I like Bashy's changes. And I was willing to run with them, but then, Finn kind of said he was going to walk out for good if I didn't revert the changes. And I was like, well, I don't want to risk losing Phineas, and, I'm just going to, you know, you got to pick your battles, and I'm always willing to, hear people out. But it turned out really well. And I think I actually snuck a bunch of Bashy's changes in behind Phineas's back. And he actually has a special version of Forum Wars that he can't see them. So
I had no problem with, like, most of his jokes that he threw in. It was just, like, changing the tone of it.
I
didn't care for it.
He kind of gave him a typical James Bondian villain sort of sound. Almost like Dr. Evil or something. Whereas this one was kind of its own thing. He sounded more like breezy, like he could be just an actual guy who stumbled upon all this crazy technology and weapons and stuff. And obviously it's all a fever dream by PS88. None of this shit is happening. And Phineas also did character name, which is a really unusual NPC because he's you. And I thought it was really well done and clever. And
it was my least favorite thing that I wrote.
It's Phineas's least favorite thing. Really, I mean, that was a challenging one. I think that was probably one of the last things you had to do, and I don't think anyone wanted to tackle it, and I certainly didn't. And, like, how the hell do you come up with a generic character that covers all the player one stuff? So it was challenging, but I think it turned out well in the end. There's some good zingers in there. And that's it for the conversations. I mean, people did a whole bunch of other shit. I mean, not shit. It was good work. But attacks that was done collaboratively, even coming up with the attacks, coming up with the bookmarks, like the descriptions and the missions attached to them, that was all done. Someone would create a Google Doc, usually Batchy, and then they would be seeded by some of the people here. And, you know, I don't want to ignore anyone's accomplishments. There's a reason why Phineas, BLK, and Batchy were the apprentice. But there was a whole lot of work done by everyone else. So I just want to kind of run down through the rest of the team if I didn't mention them. Like, basically, Craigu did a lot of editing. Blackwood Bats, he came up with a lot of really funny just one-liners, I thought. Or, you know, just his contributions to the Forum Wars Elite were really good. Fortunato basically handled a ton of sound, did some editing. Dominance came up with a lot of good stuff. Like, basically his ideas were gold. He just didn't have a chance to execute. Shaolin, like I said, he was the master of the FSM. And he basically kept us entertained by posting shit all the time. Inkanu was, like, responsible for tons of the art, you see. Basically, he did all the thread topic icons. He came up with a lot of avatars for all the, items you pick up. And of course, Spacey is basically one of the top copy editors and was extremely diligent about making sure that the copy you see is clean. And came up with a lot of good ideas yourself too. I can't leave you out. I'm going in.
And the most embarrassing Tetsonic in the game.
Oh yes, you are, Alicia.
Yes.
I kissed a boy. Yeah, that was awesome. I know, you were not really pleased to be assigned that. But
it took a couple of attempts at home before I actually pulled up the recording software, but yeah.
Did it take a couple of drinks, too?
No, I wasn't allowed to drink because of the fucking Coumadin after all my surgeries.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah. I always say you should never drink before a recording, anyway.
Why do you say that? Why would you ever have the opportunity to give that advice?
I'm a voice actor.
Maybe once.
I worked in an animation studio, and back in the day, I used to situate myself in the booth and tell all the young actresses that I was actually the casting agent. But then, after I had my way with them, I was like, oh, just kidding. I just worked in that cubicle over there, so. No, I got a chance to, like, see actors in action, and I did some voice acting myself. I have IMDb credits and everything. Not that I'm showing off.
Let's pull those up, actually.
It's for obscure cartoons.
IMDb.com. Are you credited with your actual name?
Yeah, of course. It's not under Jalapeno Booty Hole.
No, of course. Your real name. Let's look this up.
We don't have to get into my acting credits. It's usually like, you know.
Yeah, Hamilton, Alien Entomologist, G2G, gotta go.
Those are
Uncle
my
Joe's. I have The Very Good Adventures of Yamroll and Happy Kingdom, one episode.
That's an episode.
That episode is titled, Who Cut the Chi? So you all have an idea of stuff.
That was a great episode. I'll have you know, that's one of the fan favorites. And I actually have five other credits on that show, And by the way, we're releasing a game for YamRoll. It's going to be a taxi driving game called YamRoll Kooky Caddy. And it will be on cbc.ca probably within a month. And you can actually see my handiwork there. So,
hey, JB?
Yes.
Your star meter is down 42% this week.
Oh, God.
No. He's down 42% this week.
That must mean the app's pretty high last week. It must have been
that like that one person decided not to like him.
Yeah, exactly. It's so random, the whole star meter thing. I try to follow, like, some shows. Like, if you check any movie, you're going to see, like, oh, this is inexplicably up 19%. And they never explain it other than major events that usually have no effect anyway. But, yeah.
Down. Add a resume, photo, hello. Twitter, or blog to this page with IMDb resume.
It's okay. I don't want to. I don't want to highlight.
Shop Amazon for his products.
You and you should. Dex Hamilton, by the way, is currently awesome. Airing on CBC, and I suggest that you watch it every Saturday morning.
I don't have a television.
And you know that
I can't.
I actually don't have a television.
Oh, God. I watch that one day.
Television or a particular show?
Really?
Yes.
Awesome. Guys,
No, as unlikely as this whole conversation sounds, this was not an elaborate ploy by JB to publicize himself.
I'm not trying to turn this into, I'm always happy to hype other projects, but this is about glorifying the apprentices and their excellent work. So let's talk about the stuff that you guys did.
So are we answering questions now, or what are we doing?
We can answer questions, yeah, I think we should. Although, unless anyone wants to tell the saga of Crayon Cakes, and,
Do we have to?
Bort, I know you want to.
No, I don't.
You wouldn't have unmuted if you didn't.
I was muted. I was muted to begin with.
Oh. Well, we don't have to. Talk about it. I think it's an interesting story.
Crayon Cakes was the sexism thing, right?
Yeah.
Yes.
Where you wanted to write a blog post, and none of us wanted you to write a blog post immediately after it happened because it would look like you were being defensive, so you wrote a blog post anyways.
I never wrote a blog post.
I wrote a blog post about it.
I wrote it in my personal diary. I don't know how you found the little pink flap.
Dear diary, Crayon Cake just rejected all of us, and it's so sad.
Actually, I think I still have that email.
Also, I have
to the internet again.
No, what happened was I emailed her and apologized profusely because I think it was all a misunderstanding, but she ended up, I think, putting it up on Pasty or whatever, and sharing it with her clan, and that was, you know, a classy move, I thought, but why Crayon Cakes left, or the sexist, you know.
No, you can really edit all of that out.
We can cut it out, but I do want to say that I thought that was probably my biggest disappointment, was having to fire Crayon Cakes, because I think she's really talented, and really gets our sense of humor, and she actually was one of the best Farm Wars elite, Farm Builder elites that we had last season. And it's too bad it didn't work out.
This is where it came from. We found out our apprentices, you remember that one season when Trump actually picked two, well, I'm even more indecisive and worried about hurting people's feelings, so I went and picked three, Bashy, Phineas, Poe, and PLK, forming like Voltron to become the ultimate creative producer. And all people I'd be proud to call my apprentice. I'm listing them alphabetically BTW, not listing TLK last because I'm a sexist. Oh, God, please don't tell Crayon Cakes.
Right. Well, that was just a little.
Yeah.
What you call a joke.
What we might call a joke, yeah.
What we in the business call jokes.
It's the joke-making biz.
There's yeah. The Wait, people
we do that sometimes on the internet.
People were making money.
What was that?
Never mind.
No, yeah, there was a time.
Okay.
So maybe maybe we can move on to what's in the old mailbag. That's your line, Dale. Okay, I'm sure.
Sorry, I can barely hear you guys.
Bort. It's the bag.
That's a bag made of crumpled.
I live to provide sound effects, you guys. I also have a shake
of paper. Your phone.
Now, I know.
Craig's. Has anyone looked at Craig's Google Doc lately? It just says balls over and over. Okay, well, we can just kind of scan through. I don't know. A lot of the questions were really not very germane to the conversation.
But a question for me too.
I can't find the thread.
I think we should answer.
You could honestly just use Bashy's sheet. Does somebody want to do a dramatic reading?
I think some people actually want to legitimate do. Oh.
I think, we can start with Bashy as good as, wow, this is long. Did he actually write all this?
He did all.
Holy fuck. Okay, we're just going to have to share this doc. It's a public document, so you can just put a link in these thing like that. I haven't checked it lately. Kind of not looking at my screen. I don't know. Why don't we just pick a few brands then? You guys just kind of hand them if anything, answer it. This is your time to shine. I've done a lot of talking. I'm going to sit here in utter silence.
What it is? Was it? What
Ford
is?
Ford answered your question every time.
I know, it was really a rhetorical. It was a rhetorical question. And all of you listening at home, I suggest you because I know it's necessary. It's okay.
You question you're talking.
Assuming they're reading it.
You're assuming wrong, my friend. They're listening to this on their pods in their car.
Okay. The question was exactly how many times did you have an accidental orgasm in your pants if you smoked every time?
Yep.
Just seven. For me.
Seven
times. But you got to. You got a question from XX, email from Mike, XX. Who plays Formals as the story character, like Hatchel Road and Dr. O?
That would ruin the fun.
Well, it doesn't actually post them anymore, is it?
That's a good point.
Are we going to reveal it, or are we just going to go, tell anybody?
The answer is it's all bots. It's all just robot posters.
Actually, we're all bots on this call.
Oh, yeah. Clank.
guys, I'll be right back. I just need an oil break. Be back.
Because
I'm a robot.
By that, he means, of course, that he needs to lube up.
Okay. Here's a question from Orson Scott Card. Whose permaban would the apprentices most like to see lifted?
Oh.
Merkle the Mouth. No. Hugmaster Dog Round 2.
God help us all.
Get those creative juices flowing.
Get some juices flowing.
Yeah, creative ones. Oh, wait. any NPC we had to struggle with? Does anyone have a question that's worth answering that you would like to.
Hello, guys.
Actually, there was one from Crinkspipe, where Crinkspipe asked about particular attacks, and I want to answer this one because his favorite joke I am responsible for, the shitty game about the internet joke on the bad jokes attack, that's mine. So, yay, I'm glad you like it. Thank you.
Nice.
Why does everybody so much Stephen Hawking?
Let's. I think that's a good question. Unlimited Typey, I think, is his name. Who was your favorite character that didn't make it to EP3? Do we even, like, do we want to even take a cursory mention of some of the characters that didn't make it?
I have no problem with that. There were actually quite a few. Okay. And, you know, if any of this stuff does end up in episode 3.1, then cover your ears if you don't want spoilers. So, yeah, go ahead and talk about there's quite a few that didn't make it.
Did Karina, the teenage bitch, ever end up making it?
No.
No.
No. Nah.
I am sad.
That I wrote that it was originally. What?
I am sad that my character didn't make it. Who was a girl by the name of Candy Lover, who was some cracked out.
I love Candy.
Hmm.
I love Candy Lover.
Yeah, and it's too bad because Oda added a lot to the conversation, and I thought it was really funny. So it's kind of frown face. But oh well.
It was pretty good. It was one of the best of the ones that didn't make it. It didn't seem to fit our mandate, and we do have a mandate. I have one.
I actually wound up using some of that stuff too from some Candy Lover for that other one that we were working on, Mike.
Yes, and that didn't make it either, did it?
No, I was very disappointed actually. I started listening to Ray for that stuff.
Yeah, you actually were listening to, like, trance and Ray's music. That must have driven
Happy Earthwork.
Your family nuts.
Oh, God.
Yeah, actually, it did.
Yeah. I'm sorry you had to go through that. Who
I
else
still listened to it?
Didn't make it.
Sherlock Holmes, that one arc that didn't make it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Was the arc that got cut at the last minute mentioned. I haven't been around this, so.
Which one?
Which arc was that?
The one with Sherlock.
Oh.
Yeah, Sherlock Homa.
Yeah, we just mentioned that. This is a
yeah,
really good. It was a really good concept.
Was it Sherlock No Homa?
Sherlock No Homa
was the film noir, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was that him?
He was wonderful.
I love
it. It's really good. It just never quite got finished. I think Phineas wrote the vast majority, if not.
Yeah. Phineas.
Well, everything was written, and just somebody didn't implement it. I'm not naming any names, so I'm just going to call them people out.
I don't think we'll ever figure out who didn't implement it.
Implementation of the ladder?
No, there are puzzles involved, and, like, Phineas is the writer of comedy. He's not a puzzle maker. And it's really hard to just come up with shit using the S-Talk interface as a way to actually solve mystery. It was very ambitious. It was very funny. But it's that's going to have bonus content for Orange subscribers.
But only if you have the lifetime.
I like how you put that in.
But only if you buy the double lifetime version, which we haven't.
Shift, double secret yeah. lifetime.
This is actually, you have to be a Hindu.
you have to be reborn as, what do you have to be reborn as? I don't even know.
As the coin that Phineas is.
You have to be
born as Canadian.
If you're lucky enough, be reborn as a Canadian. Hey, dude.
Phineas, stop it.
That's gotta stop.
I'm not doing anything.
I was disappointed that my homeless masturbator side quest never made it in. And this is a user who is at the library masturbating, and he needs you to come.
I had a lot of fun. Just the entire concept of that guy was wonderful. In the Sunday meetings.
Yeah.
That guy was very funny, talking about how is this guy going to watch porn in the library, and what sort of things can we do to make the library. I think you recommended some sort of, like, tarp or something that he'd throw over himself so that only could see his screen.
Yeah, exactly. He had to, like,
spend
porn.
There was talk about the porn being scrambled. And you have to get him some weird internet unscrambling glasses so that you could see the porn and the magic eyes.
That's what it is. He's just watching static, but he's got these glasses on. It's like, wait, okay, so no one can see the porn on his screen, but you can still see him masturbating in the library. How are you going to get around that? It's like, oh, well, he's got a tarp over him. Then why does he need the glasses?
Because he just does, okay?
Yeah, and
we probably
would have addressed it in that order, and, like, it would have been a lot of fun, but didn't quite make it. There was a character, the British guy that Black Wabats wrote, that wasn't quite ready for prime time. It was good, but we already have, you know, we've got a Scottish person, we have all kinds of other ethnic stereotypes. I believe in the Sherlock No Homo, there was an Irish stereotype. So how many, like, what's next, Australian? Not really.
What kept Karina out? I never really found out.
I think it just
Didn't it just get lost in edits?
It went through a lot of edits, and I don't know if anyone was really, like, 100% happy with it. Just from, like...
Yeah, it just kept getting watered down, and...
And like I said, it was pretty good, but I thought it was, like, just a B-plot. Mine is like everything else was.
Wait, you mean Candy Lover as opposed to Karina?
Oh, wait, I'm sorry, I'm getting them mixed up. Karina?
Yeah, I'm talking about...
Why didn't Karina quite meet? Yeah, it got into an editing sort of hell where it...
Yeah.
There was, like, two different basic concepts, kind of...
Yeah, there were two... Well, it was because there were, like, two entire versions of the convo, because I remember I wrote up one, and then Phineas went through and made a change in the beginning of it, and then ended up feeling like he had to rewrite the entire thing to, like, reflect that change. And so it just... got reconciled, I don't think.
It did. And also, inclusion of the word bitch, you know, I think it's a little misogynist. We don't like to offend.
Who's giving misogyny?
Form Wars takes a very firm stance against misogyny.
I think it's just that you don't like women and you don't want, you know...
Hey, shut up, bitch!
Oh... That was cold.
That was true joke. The true joke is that it was completely sincere. So it was intended as a joke. But
you know, there was another female character who didn't make it.
Heather girl.
That was Crayon Cakes, and she was writing a character who was female gamer, and believes that. There are other female gamers, so it was kind of playing off the whole idea that it was actually Fraggy.
There are no women on it. And it was actually Fraggy, right, posting pictures of his sister or thing?
Okay. Yeah, so I realized a female character. Is that sexism that I was...
Sexism?
I'm going to, you know, work on that a bit.
Thank you, sir. Work on that.
I'd like to interrupt for a moment that I just purchased Form Wars Orange, the lifetime subscription while on this. This is how much stock, how much faith I have in the company to produce worth content for Orange.
Wow.
I just bought the lifetime subscription.
Thanks.
You have so much faith
in the company. I would, but I don't have enough money.
Speaking of sexism, I just want to kind of pre-announce an upcoming sourcing creative thing that might be called Four More, which is what you do best already. And I'm going to have people play through 1 through 3 and just identify the most blatantly, not sexist, but, like, you know, the kind of obviously boy-themed messages that take you out of the game. So we're not trying to pander. It's not going to be tokenism. It's not going to be like, so, you know, I was sitting down or was it standing up while I was taking a leak? And no, it's not going to be that. It's just going to be the ones where it's very obvious that if you're a girl and you're playing it, there's no ambiguity to it. Like, hey, this was for fuck. So I want to do a little contest where you can get an e-vagina for properly identifying something that is I guess you could call sexist, but you know, inadvertently so, and then coming up with a clever way to address it, and, you know, but the one that doesn't also take you out of the game because it calls attention to itself. So that's...
Actually, if I can wax pompous for a brief moment, that's actually one of the things
coming
that
up.
I am on. One of the things that I thought was really interesting about episode 3 is the fact that identity does become a question.
It should be fun.
Where,
is that how you get that unique hairstyle?
Go ahead.
Yeah.
What?
That's all good. I hear you.
Yeah, I like...
Okay, maybe...
Never mind.
Well, I think we tried to address it and be a bit conscious of it. And, you know, now we had people who were pointing out, this line here kind of assumes you're a guy. And then there were many times in conversations where the character assumes you're a female. And you have to say, hey, no, I didn't know that. I could be a guy. Hugmaster Doug is a great example. So we kind of do some gender bending.
I think that's fun.
You all dress in drag. Yeah. You know, sometimes you just want to put on a frilly tutu and just...
Sometimes you want to do that. I agree. Sometimes you do just want to do that, don't you?
Sometimes I am doing that right now.
I don't know. I do that all the time.
And I think that's okay. I think it's you got to express yourself.
Nobody's really surprised. Okay.
Fix or it didn't happen.
Get to work on that.
I don't know what story that I'm not going to bring up.
Okay.
What's in the old mailbag?
Hey, Evil Trout wants to know, what is it like working with Evil Trout as a programmer? Seriously.
Does anyone want to answer that?
Gay.
That was shitty.
Not at all. You're over there,
too? That's not really the
answer. Yeah, I was going to say, I never really worked with him, so I wouldn't know.
When I did work with Trout, when he was giving me direction on stuff that I was working on, I don't know, I appreciated his feedback. It was prompt, effective, useful. I don't know, I had no problems working with Trout at all.
Ginger.
Very fast. Get stuff done very quickly.
Yeah, I think I
really
worked with him a decent amount, and he was fast, and he, you know, whenever he had, something was fusing, he'd come right, you know, to me and ask, like, what the hell I meant, and he was really good to work with. A+.
Work again.
Highly recommended.
Did you guys like speaking? Oh, that he was speaking French all the time.
When E.T. listens to this conversation, a single tear will roll quietly down his cheek. Thank you, guys. Thank you.
Yeah. There's the feel-good session. Is there any other...
Now it's the feel-bad session.
How cool is she? Seriously.
She is P awesome.
Very not cool. IMO.
Mm-hmm.
That was Sarcasm Inc. asking that question to answer his second question.
He also mentioned the Moore files. That was quite a clever.
Did everybody just cut out? Why does everybody suddenly cut out?
Real effort. I mean, you just kind of Is there a Netflix?
I can hear you. Or we can hear you.
Yeah. But everybody, my sound just completely evaporates sometimes. Was there talking about these more files?
Okay. Not yet.
No.
Oh, so it was just people were being quiet.
So you interrupted it.
Yeah, the more files.
Yeah.
For the beast.
Yeah. Go on for it.
PP started a thread where the very first episode 3 more file that was suggested is king.lear, which may not have been found by anybody, and I believe it's one of the most powerful because it's got more. What we did was the most powerful .more files are the ones that got the most votes. And so
win votes.
Yeah, everybody in the Apprentice forum would go through the thread and upvote or downvote the more file ideas that they liked or didn't like, and the highest voted ones made the final cut. And actually there's a lot from a lot of the people who stepped out early or didn't make a lot of stuff. I think one of the higher ones is several of the highest are fails. At least one or two of them.
Yes, failed at a lot.
The biggest in the game.
Fails were awesome.
Yeah, that was your mom. Okay.
Yeah, the Belgian.
Did a lot of good. Belgian was crayon cakes, and she has the most.
I got what that doc on
podcast. What best doc was Chowin, and that is definitely was one of the highest voted. It's just like that was so perfect.
But it got suggested independently by people who didn't read the thread very carefully, like 5 times.
Yes, that's true. So it was kind of bound to happen, but Chowin was first. And that's how memes are made. And then later on we kind of realized, okay, we have a whole shitload of more files. I'm like, oh, we have to split them up by class and then we have to split them up by media type. And
Then we need 20 more of each.
Created a big...
That was a pain.
Yes, we needed so many more of each. And then it's like, okay, guys, how many email games or how many email applications do we have? So, Cutter Master 2000, stuff like that.
Nope, they're all on a Skype call. We pretty much just banged them all.
There were a couple very long Skype calls like that, where we were like, okay, we just realized that we have no attack for this one attack. We need to split these up by class, or we need X. And then we'd all get in call for like 2 hours and just bang these all out and make fun of each other.
Yeah, fun.
That was like my favorite time, of the whole apprentice experience. Just these calls, sometimes no one's saying anything, they're just typing. Sometimes people laugh.
And then everybody giggles when somebody adds something particularly good.
Yeah.
And then you hear people laughing and you go look back at the window to see what it was. Oh, okay. People who never spoke at all, like Dashi, and he just popped it into the chat window, and everyone sees it last, and just keeps going. And I know this has been a lot of patting ourselves on the back, and navel gazing, and scratching our own balls or other vaginas and so on. But if you take anything away from this that's useful, if you want to do any kind of group crowdsourcing kind of project or even like any kind of collaboration long distance, that's how you have to do it. You can't rely on someone to just open up the document and start seeing it. It will happen eventually, but if you want to get good content, you want to get fast, and you want to make people feel good about doing it, there has to be some kind of interaction, and it has to be more than just some text on screen. And I think like some of our best content came from that, and it made you feel like you're sort of part of a team. So I really enjoy it. I really like having you guys, in my ear.
I heart you
nuzzling.
Too. heart.
Thanks, man.
You're welcome. Can I have that $50 now?
Yeah, and we should attack that way. That problem. $50? You got paid, right?
We're not paid
for this call.
So.
Oh, yay!
What?
That's the mail time, boys.
Dude, we already used that joke in the Battle Threads IDC chat. Remember? You know, MySpace Tom hacks into E.T.'s girlfriend's vagina. I thought it was very similar. I thought it was plagiarism. No, Pratt.
Not going to lie, listeners, most of these questions are pretty terrible.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Which is why we did that all.
All right.
Bye.
Taskmaster.
But you guys are talking at the same time. Okay, please go first.
How strict a taskmaster was JD from MCU?
He was a taskmaster leader.
Only as strict as we liked.
No, I'm not going to lie.
I'm
being
beautiful.
In all seriousness,
I'm
very lenient. Yeah.
Yeah, very relaxed. I'm going to take straight out of the conversation.
Yeah, honestly, I felt
like it was like his.
God damn it. I am cutting out and I'm cutting in.
Business considering. I felt like considering that this was like their big financial thing that they were working on, that he was opinion. Like, I know if I was in his spot, I would have been like ringing people up on Messenger.
Yeah, honestly, JB could have been all up on me, and he actually wasn't. Yeah. He didn't bug me at all. But maybe that was because I wasn't that funny.
I have to be, you know, throughout the whole process, I was kind of like, it's, I know I shouldn't have been, and people told me I shouldn't have been, you know, embarrassed or shy about asking people to, you know, crack that whip, but because... a lot of it was semi-volunteering, and we a lot of it. Like, this started 9 months ago, and we only launched a month ago. Towards the end, I just figured the people who wanted to put in the most time would do it. But in the end, I'm glad that I didn't pressure people too much, because that would have put more pressure on me. That means I'm getting more material back that I have to review, and like getting it all in one huge barrage.
The truth comes out.
Yeah. No, so not only am I lazy, but I'm not a very good manager of people. I'm glad you guys didn't feel like I was hounding you too much.
Well, in
and
fairness,
any other question?
Also, JB, in my opinion, I actually had a lot of respect for your approach to writing, because it was very coherent and organized. At least that was my experience.
Okay. Well, thanks, man.
You're welcome.
We had some, you know, documents that were around for a long time, like even episode 2. We did use some outside writers like, Bale and Escher. And we just basically had a sort of process that we want. People to follow.
Subsonic.
And Scare. And Derek asked who what.
Let's see here.
Is there a list anywhere?
I kind of have a document.
Well, it's,
I can.
It's not. I mean, it was your friend, myself, she, space, GB.
After thoughts. Who did Afterthoughts do?
That's right. Afterthoughts and the wonderful Chopped Soup. Chopped Soup, Chris. Yes. Afterthoughts and Chopped Soup.
Chopped Soup was Little Billy.
Yeah.
Afterthoughts was a scent of love. And I, he did a good job. Sleazy. I helped out. And Guard was done by, Kate Simpson. Genuine Brit.
I'd also like to point out I saw a comment a few days ago that there was a comment a few days ago in a thread about how the Gareth X convo didn't sound English at all. I thought that was really, really funny because King Crimson is English. So if you thought his accent wasn't believable, you were disbelieving an actual English accent. So, I think that's very funny.
Too much Hollywood. Watch many movies. Although we're trying not to say A at the end of everything, me and JB, I think, in Imperial, so
A. I don't know. Even though it's like the best way to tag a sentence, really. A?
I totally know A.
It becomes a good-natured question. Go Canada. Don't kill any more bobsledders or anything, though.
Okay. So back to the
I think Cranky Butt has a good question.
Okay.
Cranky Butt asks, why can't we send game items through tub mail the way NPCs can? And I guess I would like to know if that's ever going to actually be implemented.
That's a good question. Dude, that's a terrible question because we have KUBuy for that and like randomly if you had the ability to just send items.
True.
Really
there you go, Cranky Butt.
I think someone even answered in the thread, didn't they? Maybe not.
There's a kind of interesting question
trying
from
to request, break the game would break the game.
Sorry, what were you saying, Clippers?
There's a question from Cattle, though. He asks, what would you have liked to put in if there was more time or some other resource? And I mean, we talked about the NPCs that kind of got left out, but was there anything else?
There were a few things. Let me open Catalog of Failed Dreams. It's a pretty big document. It took a while. That crashed my browser.
It goes back to going to spot.
You know what would be awesome? You know the cinematics at the end? There's like 9 of them. And I really want like comics to go along with that. But just finding an artist, and it probably would have been expensive and it would have taken a long time. And so by the time they were written, we just didn't get around to it. So, you know, after you beat the game, you're rewarded with a wall of text. But,
character.
See, that turned out quite well. I was really happy with that. The Incat people did some nice artwork. Followed directions. Incanu had some input, and it all kind of, and PLK, I think, and Spacey were around to, you know, give their point of view, and it turned out really well. What else was there that didn't make it? Can anyone think of anything?
What?
I had some Easter eggs I wanted to put in more for RWOX, but lack of time, and it was going to be hard for Trump to do anyway, so yeah, I died.
I really wanted to get Alan Thicke, against us with his agents and see if he was willing to put his name behind it, but terrible idea.
That would be hilarious.
Alan
Oh man.
I
think that would have been great.
I
wanted to like a personal video from Al.
That would be so good.
And
yeah,
I
got my
okay. Hold on. Yes, I'm calling.
I wanted to do this really over elaborate content type puzzle before F3 came out. But yeah, nothing. Really came of that because people weren't totally behind the idea, and I got swamped with.
There was an idea.
Oh, I remember that now. That
all of the alts, well, T alts that we had the apprentices, you know, role play. That was kind of short lived, but whatever. These things. And we want to create like a really elaborate puzzle quest where they all lead roads, and it was a really good idea. But I think with all the other stuff I had to do.
Yeah. Feasible.
Yeah.
Instead, I made a puzzle thing, and everyone hated it.
No.
But at least they did it for it.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Let's see. I think Sick Hacker has a good question. What was the most annoying experience as an apprentice? And I think that would be Atomic Scripter.
Man, I'd say I
thought you enjoyed it. You never said.
Control C and Control V. It's not really the most thrilling experience.
I know Fortunato has some legitimate complaints about how the feedback worked with his audio stuff. We took forever to get back to him.
I wasn't really sure where our roles were defined, and towards the end, I just kind of threw up my hands and was like, here you go, Jimmy. Do what you want. which was okay. I mean, I didn't mind. I didn't have a big complaint, and he still used some of the stuff that I helped generate. And so that was nice.
I realized, like, the feedback process was kind of takes you long, especially with your first you did with where you get the support ticket thing from Geronimo, which it was kind of more distorted at hear it and kept sending him back for revisions. But Evil Trout, you know how he's like colorblind, he's also tone deaf. So he can't hear words.
He's just really an invalid, isn't he?
He's actually in a coma right now. I have no idea.
That's why he's not here today. So we're all raising a glass before
yeah,
a glass, not an actual glass. We don't.
But
we don't.
Speaking of speaking of compass, what about Ben Todd?
he's not actually dead. He just had a full-time job throughout this entire thing and just did not get a chance to.
It wasn't just that. It wasn't just.
And to tell you,
that, he was busy every single Sunday.
That's
he booked off every Sunday to go like casino stuff or you know Vancouver or
yachting.
Anywhere but
trash.
Yeah. Exactly.
Anywhere but trash. It was actually that was a meme for a little while.
It was, and he's always like I dragged him like during. To do something, he was always really tired, and I would try to feed him energy drinks, but it just wasn't working.
Yeah, he
kind of sat there, and I could tell he wasn't really interested. But he was for the first couple episodes, and then he must have gotten burned out. But yeah, he's not dead. He's alive and kicking.
Hey, can I add one thing?
Yeah.
I was also very proud of the, and this is out of order, so you can just go in and rearrange it because you're magic. With that Geronimo voice thing, I was proud of how I got the vomit sound because the vomit sound of water being poured into a colander in my bathtub.
Ah.
And so that's
a little behind the scenes movie magic, people.
Well, in retrospect, I probably could have gone to Freesound or
archive.org and found something okay, but honestly, making the sound effect was a lot of fun.
Are you Yeah, Fortunato is a Foley artist.
and he's my best boy, Grant.
Nice.
Heart, heart, heart. Heart.
Mail bag.
Oh, sorry?
Okay.
I think Ultimate Warlord has a good question. Have you ever considered giving players the option to send Tubsonics to each other? I think that'd be kind of
fun. We have Skype for
that. Destroy that.
And it, frankly, I mean, Ichi's already paying a fortune on server costs. It's every Tubsonic would eat how much?
We're not at Lulu.
Probably the creative thrift shop, so fuck that guy.
That's true. Hey, yeah, that's not a thrift shop question.
No, it's fine. True, yeah. Sorry, bud.
No, I'm just kidding.
Can I see anything else in that thread?
Bandit Knee would like sometime if Fortunato will say hi.
What's up, Bandit Knee?
Yeah. Is it Bandit
Gang about Bandit Knee? Let
me see. Back to the hacker's question about what was the most annoying experience as an apprentice. And this wasn't, you know, totally annoying or unique to Forum Wars, but there was a lot of, like, and hurry up and, and waiting, and, you know, we were, like, kind of in a, I guess it was kind of a high-pressure situation, but I think that that really helped to, you know, some of us got to be, you know, fairly good friends out of that, I think, kind of, you know, being in the trenches with you guys was kind of fun.
BFFs. That's all I got to
figure.
Yeah.
That's all the only acronym I need to say.
This is actually how I met my wife, so.
Love.
Special love.
Hey, Shalyn.
Any other experiences or anecdotes or anything like that you guys wanted to share that you were saving until this moment?
I just remember a character that never got put into F3 that I created just for the event where I staged my own permabanning.
Right.
But I actually looked at the character, and I don't think many people got to see the screenshot that I generated falsely. But the concept was that there was a kid who was on the naughty list, and he wanted you to pwn Santa's Workshop's official forum as his brother so that his brother would be worse on the naughty list than him, and he could get all the presents. And I came up with this really elaborate concept just to make a stupid screenshot to pretend to get banned.
Do you have the screenshot? Oh, no. I remember that. Yes, yeah. Yes, that was great.
Yeah. But it got, removed rather swiftly also, so whatever. Thanks for that, all my hard work.
There's a lot of content in episode 3, and some people actually have complained that there's too much, that there's too much reading, too many characters. And,
Screw them.
You mean I have to play this game?
I think the issue is that you get hit with them all at once.
Yeah.
It feels like it's bigger than it really is. Even, like, I mean, that F3 was huge, but you get hit with, like, 6 or 7 NPCs in the first.
It's true. Some people like that, though. I remember Manhammer was saying how much he enjoyed that. Because he likes to be hit with all kinds of things at once, I guess.
Oh, yeah, I didn't mind. I can see where he's coming from, though.
Cox.
Yeah, Cox.
True.
Gotcha. Oh, guys, I can tell that there's some burnout, and it's 4:20 right now, so.
Speaking of burnout,
Why don't we say we all hit the bong and reconvene?
How about we say we all do that and don't reconvene?
That could work.
That works.
Guys, I really want to thank you for joining us, and to all the listeners out there, I'm probably going to do some cutting and get this dance to a more manageable size, but there's a good chance that I won't, and it's just going to be us rambling. And I think this will be the nice document of our...
Wasn't the last one like 2 hours?
Yeah, that was just me. But that was mostly me saying, Yeah.
So I propose one last thing, and it's Battle Threads Apprentice Podcast 1.0, 3.5 hours talking about shit dot noise. Only make it like 150 parts spread across every forum in the game. And,
that'd be a great idea.
That's one.
I think that would go over pretty well.
Yeah, I think everybody would.
Maybe my PLK has dropped.
What? PLK has dropped? She keeps leaving us. She's like a cat that keeps running away.
She doesn't love us.
Well, everyone, I think we could probably say
goodbye
right now. And, once again,
I think this is just sexism, basically.
Me too.
Spacey's still here.
Hey, Spacey, you've been pretty quiet.
Do you have anything you'd like?
Is it because you're in the kitchen making sandwiches?
Oh!
See, I'm going to regret saying that.
Yeah, you should have asked for
that. That's the only thing that's going to make it into the podcast. Space Cadet wanted to be here, but she was in the kitchen making us sandwiches.
Chowin, why don't you say what you just typed here?
Reason she okay cut down because she has her wireless in the kitchen.
man.
She's not ashamed of that.
well, it's safe to say that we have wrapped up and that we are now in bonus time. So
good time. Okay.
I'd like to sing a song about my experience being an apprentice. For Mars.
Oh my God.
So Fort, like, hopefully you recorded because I have not been recording at all.
Are you serious? Because
no.
Oh, good. But I actually did, so you can listen to both and...
Oh, wow.
I
haven't heard that sound effect in years.
It sounded really bad on my end. I hear all kinds of stuff.
Play it again. Oh, that's the dog from Duck Hunt.
Dude, you got a southern rap beat out of that. That's fucking wicked.
Am I back now? Yeah, I'm back. Actually, what I think we should do is after we have somebody transcribe this whole disaster, we should have Fortunato.
Oh, good God, no.
Put it to music.
Put the whole thing to music?
The whole thing. I got.
That would be like
a symphony. Or, you know, I'd just put on a bunch of white noise and call it postmodern. I think I'm going to fill the entire conversation.
Sing it. You're going to sing it too.
Sing the conversation? No. Screw you.
Yeah.
All right, guys, I'm off recording now, so everything is off the record as far as I'm concerned.
Do I call you
more recording?
I know, I was
promised
to record.
Yeah, I stopped recording because we're done.
Okay, goodbye.
No, get Hog. Hog, get your kids to come say goodbye.
That's a great idea.
Okay. I'm starving, so I'm probably going to grab some grub.
Fucking go eat.
Hey, you guys can listen to me chew.
Mike.
You can listen to planes take off.
JB, Buck is getting his kids to say goodbye. So we have to record that.
We're not recording it, and if I... No. I mean, no.
I'm recording
it's
it
not
right
a kid-friendly
now.
Game.
Catching some...
Oh, okay. You can record
some it. It'll be adorable. You have to...
That was Hog. I think that was Hog.
Shut now. Nope. Say bye bye. Bye bye.
Say Formore's rules.
Bye.
Say bye, Orange. Lifetime subscription.
Say go, pedophilia.
Say some profanity.
Some profanity.
That's
not
going to happen.
Say
profanity,
Bye-bye. It'll be great.
Say jalapeno boo-boo is definitely not sexist. He's just misunderstood.
Not going to happen.
If I misunderstood, you mean misogynist.
Bye-bye.
That was beautiful.
Bye-bye.
I'm glad you had a bunch of that.
Now it's turned into a game. Right, I'm going to go cook some bacon.
All right. Is that your way of saying you're going to kill cops?
Yes. Hi.
Two policemen found dead in the Harrisburg Constitution.
All right. Ooh,
Harrisburg.
Farewell, Forum Warsters. I spent way too much time talking with all of you.